Jim, hello. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me, Alex. Great to be here.
In the first place, what was your motivation to go down to the borders and to kind of live through that crisis that takes place at the edge of Europe right now?
Well, there are several reasons. And the first is that I've been working on a documentary series with music called Journeys. So that's taken me off through across Russia and into the heart of China and through Africa, and it's an ongoing series. But the question on my mind was always my home continent, and particularly at this point in time, it feels that our continent and our politics and our point of view is all changing very quickly. So yes, having traveled all this way, I came back to Europe. And obviously last year, like many people, I've been watching this, what people call the refugee crisis, and all these people coming in and wondering how, you know, feeling very passive, feeling like what type of contribution can you make as in your own life, whether it is any different type of job. And for me, I'm a musician and filmmaker. But I felt very passive, and I felt like, how am I going to challenge this notion of being passive? And eventually, at the beginning of this year, I felt like it was time to go off and look with my own eyes.
Also er sagt, er hat vorher schon eine große Reise durch Asien vor allem gemacht, Russland bis nach China, und hat sich dann aber überlegt, er muss gucken, was eigentlich vor seiner eigenen Haustür passiert, natürlich während dieser sogenannten Krise und wie über sie gesprochen wird, und hat sich überlegt, was er dafür tun kann, und als Musiker und Filmmacher war dann eben das Mittel der Wahl, da runterzufahren und sich das anzugucken. So while being down there, how was it to find the like fine line between being a documentary filmer and a musician and being a helper?
Well, I didn't have, when I set off, any particular idea of how music could play a part. And it was for that reason that originally I wasn't going to bring my guitar, but my co-traveler, the photographer Bastian Fischer, said, look, you got to bring it. You never know what role it could play. And originally, yes, it was meant to be an exploration on, of course, a spiritual level, on a political level. But you have no idea like how you're going to get involved. That question, I wasn't going down as a volunteer. I was going down as a man of culture, and specifically through photography and documentary. And then wondering this question in my mind, how could music, could there be a role for music? I wasn't sure. But very quickly, there were the wonderful thing about going and challenging oneself on how one can make a contribution is that in such a sort of situation, such a crisis, there really is a role for everyone. So that was a very inspiring thing to set out to have a look, and then to find some very specific ways where another pair of hands and another mind was needed, is needed.
Also er sagt, am Anfang wusste er gar nicht, was Musik für eine Rolle spielen wird, aber sein Kollege meint, er soll unbedingt die Gitarre mitnehmen, und er ist da auch mit vielen Fragezeichen hingereist, und am Ende hat es natürlich auf einem spirituellen Level, auf einem politischen und auch auf einem persönlichen ihn weitergebracht, und daraus ist dann eben diese Musik oder sind diese Songs entstanden. Jetzt wollen wir noch kurz drüber reden, was es natürlich auch geändert hat in seiner Wahrnehmung, denn er lebt in Berlin, kommt ursprünglich aus Schottland, zwei Gesellschaften, in denen viel über Flüchtlinge diskutiert wird. So you live in Berlin now for 7 years, but you're originally from Scotland.
That's right.
So
yes.
You, of course, read and saw how people talk about migration, about refugees here in your home country as well. It was a big topic when there was the Brexit referendum. So how do you approach these discussions now after being there and seeing how people, like what they do to come to Europe?
Well, I think this is the interesting question, because the twin question in my mind was to learn about the lives of the refugees arriving in Europe, that what they've come away from, what they're seeking, what their conditions are. And then the secondary question was, what is it to be a European at this point in time? And you mentioned Brexit, or if you talk about the rise of right-wing parties, it doesn't matter, across Europe, in France with Marine Le Pen, or AfD in Germany, and in Austria and so on. And it feels like there's a lot of hate in society. There's a lot of suspicion of others. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of fear that our jobs are going to be taken away, not just by this, but it's an economically challenging time. But all these different things are contributing to this environment of suspicion. And my main experience when I went away was of a tremendous education with these people, and to have a sense of what they'd been through, but also to particularly learn about them as human beings, and to learn a lot about the nature of courage and what it is to have strength when you have nothing but your bag and your children or no one with you. So yes, I've learned so much, and that's definitely opened my heart towards the people coming in.
Er sagt also, er hat viel gelernt auf dieser Reise. Das waren auch so seine Fragestellungen, wie diese Menschen, wo sie herkommen, warum sie dort abhauen, was sie auf sich nehmen, wie viel Mut sie auch aufbringen, um eben ihre Kinder an die Hand zu nehmen und nach Europa zu kommen. Und auf der anderen Seite hat er auch viel darüber gelernt, was es heißt, ein Europäer zu sein und auch proaktiv über solche Sachen nachzudenken und sich da zu engagieren. Und es hat ihn definitiv weitergebracht. It also had some impact to your music. And we of course want to hear your music in the sessions. Und natürlich wollen wir jetzt auch einen Song hören. Den ersten, den er mitgebracht hat, ist Shadowlands. So that's your first song. Just tell us what it's about.
Well, Shadowlands is really about remembering that as a human being, regardless of what your political belief is, or regardless of your creed or your religion or the color of your skin, it doesn't matter. We are all on this planet together, and it doesn't matter whether you're left wing or right wing. We have to face the broader challenges of this world and this planet together. And the fact is that we've got bigger problems to face, like so something like climate change. So the spirit of the song is about overcoming these distractions and actually trying to come together and deal with the bigger challenges ahead.
Also er sagt, viele große Themen, am Ende eben auch das Klima und was es bedeutet, ein Mensch zu sein, stecken da drin. Und jetzt wollen wir einfach den Song auf uns wirken lassen. Und deswegen haben wir jetzt hier Jim Croft mit Shadowlands.
I believe we're entering an age of solitude, but I still love hope. I believe we're entering an age that needs a miracle, but I still love hope. Though the world is old, though a time is brief, we'll cross that bridge together. We'll cross that bridge together to the shadowlands. I believe you get what you give, and that'll be the same for me. Yes, I still am whole. I believe when everything is cloudy, there's a way to see. Yes, I still am whole. Though the world is old, though a time is brief, we'll cross that bridge together. together. We'll cross that bridge together to the shadowlands.
Jim Croft war das mit Shadowlands, der Schotte, gerade in Berlin ansässig seit ein paar Jahren, ist bei uns im Studio zur Detector FM Session und wir sprechen über sein neues Album, das entstanden ist auf einer Reise an die griechische Grenze, wo Flüchtlinge gestrandet sind, und hat auch Fotos dabei gemacht und darüber wollen wir jetzt ein bisschen sprechen. So you also took photos on your journey there, and one photo in particular is interesting to me. It's also the cover photo of your album. It's a man walking in the water towards a boat approaching. How is it to see that moment when these people, after this long journey, arrive at the coast and there is somebody actually helping, which you can see on the photo?
Well, it's lovely that you describe it in those terms, because that really is what it is. And the man who's walking out towards this boat of refugees coming in is a Spanish man called Paco, who had lots of nostril hair and a wicked laugh, and we got on very well, and we'd sometimes share a little whiskey at the end of a shift. But they were there every night, and these guys were just so inspiring, because they are Spanish firefighters and rescue workers, and they go on rotation without pay on their holidays to go and safeguard the journey of these refugees coming in. And of course, a lot of these boats, we all know that a lot of these boats, I mean, just last night, another boat went down in between Lesbos and Turkey and four people died. So this is happening all the time. And I was so inspired by the, not just the work of these people, but also just this metaphor, because you have to imagine these people are coming in from a war-torn country, and their first step onto a new continent is to be met by this 50-year-old Spanish firefighter with a great grey beard like Gandalf, marching out into the water to bring them in. And I'm like, well, if we all had that spirit of openness and power, there would be a lot more solutions than there are problems. But at the moment, it feels like we're seeing a situation more as problems rather than as an opportunity.
Also er sagt, am beeindruckendsten war dieser Feuerwehrmann, ein Spanier, der dort freiwillig war. Es gibt da so eine Rotation in Spanien, wie sie da hinkommen nach Lesbos und dort eben dann arbeiten und helfen. Der war ganz beeindruckt, nicht nur wegen seines großen Barts und seines tiefen Lachens, sondern auch, dass er eben diese Courage hatte, dort zu arbeiten und diesen Menschen entgegenzugehen, wie man das auf dem Foto sieht. Und Jim sagt auch, wenn wir alle diese Courage hätten oder diesen Geist, dann würde es viel weniger Probleme geben, oder wir würden Dinge viel weniger als Probleme sehen in unserer Gegenwart und auch eben in dieser Flüchtlingskrise. So, second photo I was looking at quite a lot of times today. Das zweite Foto, über das wir sprechen, ist ein riesiger Berg von Schwimmwesten. Mm-hmm. It's this one, it's called Golgotha. So it's a biblical reference.
If you imagine the picture, if you're listening on the radio, you have two mountains of swim vests, and you have this very, very dark sky, and then this golden light in the mountains behind. And I remember just when I came, sort of feeling this almost religious sort of feeling when I was there, because it was, the clouds were so oppressive and expressive of this surreal situation. And I say surreal because it didn't feel real, but of course it is real, because each of these swim vests represents a human life. And we know that so many people died last year making this journey. And so, yes, it was, the reason that it was called Golgotha was because there was this sense of the light. It was the only place I've ever been in my life where I kind of, when I was reading like a religious text when I was, you know, young, like you do, and you're in church and you're having this picture of sort of the crucifixion or something like this, but it really felt like this other world. Like we've all seen pictures of terrible things, but you know, to be there and to witness the scale, it was like the most powerful artist monument in the world. But of course it's not an artist monument, it's really something happening. So the only reason way I could really describe it was in biblical terms.
Also er hat diese biblische Referenz eben verwendet. Golgotha heißt das Bild dieser Schwimmwesten riesiger Berge, weil es ihm so surreal und gleichzeitig auch irgendwie religiös erschien, diese Anhäufung von Leben, zurückgelassenem Leben, denn sie haben ja alle mal einem Menschen gehört. Und er hat es fast als ein Kunstwerk gesehen, wobei es eben kein Kunstwerk ist, sondern ja die harte Realität. Und wir wollen noch über ein drittes Bild sprechen, das einen jungen Mann zeigt mit einer Zigarette, der ein bisschen entrückt in die Ferne guckt und dabei gleichzeitig traurig und glücklich aussieht, und wir wollen so ein bisschen rausfinden, was das über diese Menschen aussagt. So the last one I picked is the young man with the cigarette watching the sunset, I suppose, and he somehow in the same moment looks sad and depressed and kind of happy, or like looking into the future. Is that like the main feeling you got from these people?
This was exactly it, because you had so many different emotions, and this young man, he must be sort of 20, I guess, had just come off the boat, and sometimes people came off the boats with serious medical emergencies, and that was obviously very serious. Sometimes you had older people who were very distressed, or some kids very upset, or some kids sort of just embracing it. But this young man, I look at this picture and I see him, as you say, there's a, on the one hand, it's a sense of a past life that will never come back to him being left behind, and a sadness there and a relief. But there's also at the same time, there's a glitter in his eyes. And I call the picture James Dean, because, you know, we have these fantasies in pop culture of the rebel without a cause. But this young man, you know, he arrived on this beach with no possessions, and he puts that cigarette in his mouth, and he's got nothing to go back to, and he doesn't know what's ahead. But still, he is the quintessence of poise and of whatever the essence of cool is, you know, which is a much bigger thing than a pop idea. It's an idea of a man being, a young man being ready to face his future. And I just find that look incredibly inspiring.
Also er fand diesen Blick eben ganz besonders und hat ihn auch deswegen James Dean benannt, nach dem alten rebellischen Schauspieler, weil er genau das darin sieht, den jungen Mann, der 20 ist, der zurückguckt vielleicht und aber weiß, dass es dort nichts mehr gibt, und nach vorne guckt, nicht weiß, was ihn dort erwartet, und dieser Moment dazwischen und gleichzeitig ja dieser Mut, was er vorhin schon angesprochen hat, den diese Menschen aufbringen, der hat ihn am meisten inspiriert, und deswegen mag er dieses Bild sehr. Und wir kommen damit nochmal zurück zur Musik. Einen zweiten Song hat Jim Croft uns mitgebracht. Das ist auch der erste Song auf dem Album, Sarah. Sage ich mal ganz flapsig, klingt eigentlich nach einem Liebeslied. Wie passt denn dazu? So we're now hearing the first song of your album, which is Sarah. So in the first moment I thought it's like a classical love or breakup song.
But now I can understand that.
Yeah, yes. But it is not.
But I think that's the interesting, that's what I love about music, is that on the one hand you can listen to a song, and if you don't know the reference, you can let it be whatever it is. And I love that openness. And, you know, I'm not particularly into music that is sort of, you know, preaching at you or something, but actually what the song is about, it's about this first night that I was on this beach and seeing a very young girl, like 10 years old, coming off very, very cold February this year. And so in the song, I've tried to express as close as I could the actual emotion of being a human being and just seeing this little girl. And I've never seen something or someone so vulnerable and cold, and it was very powerful. So I've tried to write a song to allow hopefully the listener to transport into this experience that I had.
Also es hat ihn durchaus amüsiert, dass ich darin einen Liebessong gesehen habe, und er findet es auch gut, dass Musik eben so multidimensionell ist, dass man da alles hineininterpretieren kann. Aber es ging eigentlich um einen Moment, als er im Februar eben auf Lesbos ein 10-jähriges, total erschöpftes, nasses Mädchen aus dem Meer kommen sah, und das war für ihn einer der eindrücklichsten Momente überhaupt, diese Verletzlichkeit dieses jungen Wesens, und das wollte er transportieren und ihr auch irgendwie eine Stimme geben in diesem Song. Und wie das klingt, das hören wir jetzt. Hier ist Jim Croft mit Sarah.
Well, I'm walking on Hell's Beach, you're shivering there and I'm losing your hair. Freezing now, so, so afraid. And I don't know what to do, sweet Sarah. Sarah, 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 Sarah. Well, I'm walking on Hell's Beach, no one will come, you're on that storm. Howling storm, drown out the scream.
Jim Croft immer noch bei uns in der Detektor FM Session. Das war gerade Sarah aus seinem aktuellen Album. Und wir sprechen die ganze Zeit darüber, wie er eben auf Lesbos in Griechenland war und mit diesen Flüchtlingen ja auch gelebt hat und sie porträtiert hat. Jetzt hat er gerade Geld gesammelt oder sammelt noch für ein Boot, das er darunter schicken möchte. Und deswegen möchte ich noch zum Ende wissen, warum das Boot eigentlich das Wichtigste ist und ob es das auch schon gibt. So you're collecting money via crowdfunding for a boat, 20,000 euro, I guess. But like first question was, it was not the first thing that came to my mind when helping these people. Why is the boat so important?
Well, if you imagine like this story I just mentioned with this little girl, Sarah, well, that same night there was a little boy who died on the beach. He was 4 years old. And I will never forget seeing his father desperate as the medics gave this little boy CPR. And now if the first picture that I showed, Paco, was a member of this team Promade who I raised the money for this boat, which is just finished this week, by the way, which is lovely. And now if they'd had their boat at this stage with as that boat was coming in, they would have been able to go out into the water, assess the situation and take off that little boy and little girl or anyone in a very desperate situation, or if one of the boats like last night and it had tipped up in the ocean, they could have gone and rescued the people directly. So the importance for this team was to have a boat, is to have a boat so that when people are coming in, they can do what they can. And the sort of sad fact is that the operation from the EU has been very, very poorly managed and poorly run since this crisis began. So it's really up to sort of independent people, I think, like this Promade team to do their work. It's enormously valued. And obviously as an independent artist, I can value them as an independent search and rescue mission. So it's just an enormous pride for me to be able to use the work that I do in music to be able to crowdfund this boat for their work.
Also das Boot ist nicht, das hat er gerade mal klargestellt, für die Flüchtlinge an sich, sondern für die Helfer, wie Paco, den er vorhin erwähnt hat, den Spanier. Und das Geld ist in der Tat zusammengekommen. Sie haben jetzt ein Boot, um eben auch rauszufahren und Boote in Seenot dort zu retten, weil er hat gerade nochmal erwähnt, die Geschichte in der Nacht, als er die 10-Jährige gesehen hat, ist nebenan ein 4-Jähriger gestorben am Strand und er sagt, diese Verzweiflung des Vaters, während die Medics, also die Sanitäter versuchen, den 4-Jährigen Sohn wiederzubeleben, die hat ihn auch so mitgenommen, dass er gesagt hat, man muss irgendetwas tun und Unterstützung leisten, damit zumindest diese Mission dort besser funktioniert, denn die der EU funktioniere ganz, ganz schlecht, hat er eben noch erwähnt. Damit sind wir am Ende angekommen. Das Album Journey Free ist aktuell draußen von Jim Croft. Die Fotos, über die wir jetzt die ganze Zeit gesprochen haben, die finden Sie auch nochmal auf unserer Webseite detektor.fm. Da gibt es auch nochmal ein Video der Session mit den Songs und das ganze Interview zum Runterladen und zum Nachhören. Ich bedanke mich ganz, ganz herzlich bei unserem Gast und möchte ihm alles Gute wünschen. So, Jim Croft, thank you very much for being on our show and yeah, all the best.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Detektor FM, for having me down. It's a pleasure to be in Leipzig and hope to see some Leipzig people soon on the next tour.
Die Detektor FM Session live im Studio.